For those of you here last Sunday, or you watched online, you'll know that I talked a little bit about my story, how I became a Christian, and a little bit about what's on our hearts, really, what's shaped us as Christians. This morning, I wanted to say a few things about the way ahead for us as church. I realize Louise and I have only been here, this is only our second Sunday, which is crazy. We've only been here a short while, and we will want to spend a fair bit of time just wanting to obviously get to know people, find out what's happening and why it's happening. But I just felt it was right to say a few things this week about the way ahead for us as church. A number of people have prayed about this being a new season in the life of Holy Trinity. It was mentioned at our induction service and has been mentioned, prayed about at various meetings since we've been here. Now, of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize we're in a new season. You know, you've been in interregnum for 16 months and you now have a new vicar and wife. So it is a new season. I want to suggest, though, that it's also a new season where God's going to do a new thing. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I am doing a new thing." Now, the immediate context, of course, is that the nation was in exile. The prophet Isaiah is giving words of hope and comfort to a scattered nation. Judah and Israel hadn't been bothered about the Lord. And he's reminding them that they are his chosen people, that he will help them, that he will restore them, that he will do a new thing amongst them. Now, if you know your scripture, you'll know that there are many places in the Bible where God's people are encouraged to remember. Remember what God's done for you. Remember and be encouraged. If you're going through a hard time, remember. So scripture is telling us both to remember and to forget. Marvelous. Now, I believe scripture, all scripture is true. So we therefore need to discern when we should be remembering when we shall be forgetting. When God is doing something new, there are things to forget. And the prophet Isaiah is giving an important reminder. He's saying, when the Lord is doing a new thing, the past can teach and illustrate, but it can't bind us. The Lord always has greater things in store for his people. He's revealed in the past, but he is always more than the past revealed. And it's good, isn't it, to honor the past. It's good and right to honor the past leaders of this church, Liz and Ian, who are well loved here, Ian Blake, Simon and his wife, Brian. Those of you who remember further back than that, I'm not sure who came before Brian, but it's good, isn't it, to remember past leaders and honor them for the work they've did, for the various youth workers that have been here, and of course others. It's not just those in leadership positions. There's many in this church who've done amazing things in the past, and it's good to look back and honor what has been done. So we can and should honor past seasons, but we shouldn't be bound by past seasons. And that can be hard for us because we'll have seen the Lord work in those seasons. We'll have been impacted in those seasons. Those seasons may have shaped our faith. We may have come to faith in those seasons. So it's not that the Lord wasn't working then, of course. It's just that he's a God of the new things. And when we discern that he's doing a new thing, the past can teach and illustrate, but it can't bind us. And the danger of clinging on to what we know, what has worked, what has been comfortable to us, may result in us missing the new thing that the Lord wants to do. And we can see that in Scripture. You know, you think about the story of the Exodus. The Lord pulled the Israelites from Egypt and sent them into the wilderness. It wasn't long before they were grumbling and complaining, wanting to go back to Egypt. We kind of had better food there. Our dwellings were better. They were trying to cling on to what they knew, but the Lord was doing a new thing. The supreme example, of course, is Jesus. Jesus came to redefine what it is to have relationship with Father God and what it is to be righteous in his sight. It was now going to be all through him. Yet the Pharisees and teachers of the law tried to cling on to what they knew, and they missed the new thing. The past can teach and illustrate, but we can't be bound by it. And it's the same for Louise and I. You know, Louise and I don't want to come here and kind of say, well, we did this in our past and that worked, so we'll just do it here. There's a real danger in that. We want to be open to, Lord, what's the new you want to do amongst us? We need to be praying. We need to be discerning. Lord, show us the new. Those of us here who are prayers or intercessors, and I know there are some, please be praying, Lord, show us the new thing. Reveal the new purposes you have for us as Holy Trinity. We don't want to miss the new. The new is where life is. In this Isaiah passage, it says, then says, I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now, I've never actually experienced being in an actual desert or wasteland. I would imagine they're hard places to be. Places where there's not much fruit, that it's difficult to find your way. God's promise is that when he does a new thing, he will bring refreshment to us. He will bring guidance to us. You know, we're still getting to know people in this church. And I said last week, we've had a lovely welcome. Thank you so much for the welcome you've given us. So we don't really know where people are at. Maybe one or two of you feel you're in a bit of a desert place. Wilderness place in terms of your relationship with the Lord. Maybe God just feels distant at the moment, absent even. Maybe you've been working tirelessly and you haven't seen much fruit. Maybe this last 16 months of interregnum has kind of worn you out a bit. Incidentally, do know that the Lord never leads you into a desert or wilderness place to punish you. Or somehow he's displeased with you. He never does that. Wilderness places are preparation for the new thing. If you think how Jesus was led into a wilderness before he started ministry, think of Paul, he was led into Arabia shortly after his conversion. Desert places, wilderness places are preparation for the new. I said it at the beginning, the Lord is always pleased to see us. That's a lot better news than your faces are showing. You know, we're always able to approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, as it says in Hebrews. Because often when we find ourselves in a desert or wilderness place, some of us think, oh, God's displeased with me, therefore. You know, his presence has apparently left us, we kind of think, some of us think he's punishing us or he's displeased with us. It's just not true. He's always pleased to welcome us into his presence. So I believe the Lord is wanting to do a new thing in this new season. So I'm just trying to encourage us, let's not cling on tightly to what we know, what has worked, what is comfortable to us. And as we follow him, he will bring refreshment and guidance along the way. In the church's parish profile, and it came up at my interview, one of the desires of this church is to grow younger. And we'll start talking about that when the PCC meets. You know, how can we build upon the existing good work and good foundations of this church community to grow younger? And do hear, whenever we talk about a desire to grow younger, in no way am I implying that those of us who maybe don't consider themselves as young, I'm not implying you don't matter. Do hear that. There's still a role, a place for all in God's kingdom. I'll talk a little bit about that later. I was sitting in my study this week, looking out at the church, because actually that's all I can see really in my study, the church. And this young mother came with her little tot to the Trinity Centre Tots group. And she came and stopped at the bench out there. And her little girl let go of her hand, the mum's hand, and looked up at her mum, then ran as fast as she could to the top of the ramp and sat down, smiling, looking very mischievous and pleased with herself. And she kind of sat there for a little while, and she ran back down and sat with her mum on the bench. It was just a lovely picture of how children are. It was kind of a reminder to me that little children just love to step out and be both mischievous and adventurous. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And of course, there's more to that than being mischievous and adventurous. But there are things we can learn from little children. In our past church, we had several little children who would come and just stand like at the front of the church and just start dancing and smiling at everyone. And we had a teenage boy who had autism who, when the worship started, he was like just dancing away, uninhibited. And people loved him. And it's because they felt they belonged. They felt they could just be who they were. Uninhibited children. We can learn much from our children. Little children, they don't care what people think about them. They just go for it. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So one of the things I believe we'll need to, and we're doing much of it already, of course we are, is to ensure this place is a place where children and young people feel they belong, that they can just be who they are. And that does bring a few challenges to those of us who are a bit older. I chose the Timothy passage this morning because it's a reminder of the importance of young people having responsibility. Scholars believe Timothy was probably late 20s, early 30s. But he was an established church leader by that age. He was a respected Christian in his hometown. He struggled with being timid, had a reserved nature. And in our passage, Paul is encouraging him to keep going. And he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Presumably because there were those who were looking down on him because he was young. Maybe they were criticizing him. Maybe they were feeling superior to him because he was young. You know, elsewhere in Acts, Peter addressed the crowd and said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And so I think growing younger as a church will mean learning to help our young people discover their gifts and talents and to just give them responsibility. How do we release our young people to have responsibility? You know, Christian maturity doesn't come with age. Neither does it come with knowledge. Although some knowledge, of course, is important. Christian maturity just comes with surrender and obedience to what we know. So we have to, I believe, encourage those who are younger to discover their gifts and to release them into responsibility. And that means for those of us, again, who may not describe themselves as young, and I put myself in that bracket, I'm no spring chicken. Actually, does that make sense here, spring chicken? I don't know if it does. It's like a Norfolk expression, isn't it? You know, it may mean our role has to adapt and change. Our role might increase, become one of encouraging, mentoring, supporting some of our younger people to do the stuff, supporting them when they make mistakes like we do, so they can go further in the Lord than we did. You know, the purpose of us older ones is to encourage the younger generations to go further than we have gone. Having a desire to grow younger is a great desire and aspiration. And honestly, Louise and I are really excited to be here, to be on the journey with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Penny, oh, do you want to come back? And Louise, do you want to come? We thought we'd just pray this morning again. And I've asked Louise to come and pray. Penny's going to play quietly. Yeah, you have that mic. Why don't we stand? Father, I want to thank you for the past seasons of this church, for those loved leaders who have gone before and built such good foundations in this place. I want to thank you for everyone here whose faith has been impacted by those seasons. But Lord, I believe you're doing a new thing amongst us. And Lord, it's the cry of my heart to always be in step with you. I don't want to miss anything you might purpose for us.
I want to pray for us this morning that in a new season we accept the new mantle he might be giving us. So if you're comfortable with that, and if you want to just receive from him this morning, I just encourage you to put your hands up. It's like you're going to receive a gift from him. And he honors, the Lord honors faithful service. The Lord honors those that trust him and endeavor to walk with him. And he also wants to just lead us in our lives from chapter to chapter, from one season to another. And as we embark on this new season for Adrian and I, and a new season for this church, just be open to the mantle he might be giving you. What has the Lord in store for you in this new season? The Lord wants us to always be growing with him. He wants us to always be seeking more from him. And he receives us with delight when we come to him and want more. When we come to him and say, "What's next, Papa? What's next here? What's next for us? What's next for this church? What's next? What, Lord, what do you want of us in this season?" Let us be open. Lord, in your mercy, would you show us? Would you clothe us as you would have us clothed? Would we delight you as your children? Lord, increase in us, if that's needed, a childlike faith in you. Lord, increase our ability to just shake off old mantles that might not fit so well anymore. Things that might impede us or be tight on us now. Lord, give us the clothes that you want us to wear in this season. Clothe us as you would have us clothed, Lord. A new mantle for a new season. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You want to pray? I think we'll lead into worship. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm moving to Just want to pray also that for those who may be feeling a bit tired, just in a hard season at the moment, and that can be for various reasons. Father, I just pray you'd just bring your refreshment to those dear people, the people who may have just been working tirelessly, that Holy Spirit, you'd come and fall afresh. That you'd lighten people's walks, you'd lighten people's loads. We're going to move into just a closing time of worship. I don't know if the other singers are going to come back.